You're tuned to Katie and Kay, and this is Raleigh Burley with Heart Song. I'm honored today to be joined by William Evans, whose voice you will recognize from Shifting Gears, one of the longest-running public affairs programs here on Katie and Kay. And William Evans, a retired medical doctor, has just published a new book called Circulating Source Water. Will Evans, how are you?
I'm happy to be here.
So good to turn the mic on you and give you the opportunity to talk about your work.
Happy to talk.
So this book comes about at a very pivotal time, as you recognize. You call it an inflection point in the book.
Right.
Could you talk about the inception of this work?
Well, the work has flowed from my relationship with water. And as a child, my father and mother gifted me a youth on lakes and rivers because my father loved to fish and my mother joined him in that time on the water. And so when I was young and not attentive enough to fish, I just played along the river. And there were beautiful experiences and there were some difficult experiences, but a really pivotal one for me was learning how to kayak big water and be in partnership with the river. And as a result of that, things begin to grow in a more rapid way. And then it was certainly significant to be ready to go to Standing Rock and experience what was happening there and take in the words, water is life. Before I went to Standing Rock, I had been involved with trying to upgrade the human relationship with Hanging Lake. And nothing happened with my initial attempt there, but when I cleaned the garage, I found that file. And I realized that the land and the water were still talking to me and wouldn't shut up till I got a little more engaged.
And in the process of writing this, a lot has happened.
Oh, it's been an amazing experience because I've been trying to figure out how to communicate what I had learned for years. And it initially was sort of my philosophical perspective. And then this spring, actually the end of last year and early this year, with the COVID pandemic, it became a real-time reality that I was writing, and it was evolving every day and continues to, because as you mentioned earlier, it is an inflection point, and I've been sensitive to transitions and inflection points since I was pretty young.
Within the pages, you call this a monograph. Could you describe the significance of it being a monograph?
Well, a monograph is a writing on a single subject. And I'm writing about water, particularly the quality of water, known as source water. But water touches everything, And so I'm authorized to speak about everything water touches. So I do get involved to some degree with the atmosphere and the issue of climate change, because that's part of where the water cycle goes and lives, and where the rain and snow come from.
The title Circulating Source Water says a lot about that cycle you just mentioned. And the term source water you describe in the book, differentiating it from headwaters, is how we might see it described. Could you explain the difference?
Well, the way I explain it is, source water is what I want my grandchildren to drink, and I want to drink, because I want to have a healthy, good life. I think it's really beautiful, the people who are convening this current conversation about the Mother Earth's pandemic and the doctrine of discovery use the greeting, "Thank you for being well." And, you know, it takes a lot of work to be healthy in this time. And it takes a lot of work to maintain our balance. So it's a pretty exciting time to be alive.
Mm-hmm. You're tuned to KDNK, and I'm joined with Dr. Will Evans, host of Shifting Gears and a local elder. Will, given your background in medicine, how does that inform this particular monograph and talking on the subject of water?
Well, in medicine, I was trained to find what's gone wrong, find the pathology. And it's a very powerful way of dealing with problems, diseases and pathology. But it's oriented toward what's gone wrong. And it's not a model or a guidebook to how to be healthy and how to be in balance. And I became aware of that as a result of actually being treated with acupuncture. I realized that the fellow who treated me could do things I didn't know how to do. I did, interestingly enough, synchronistically have some insight into the model he was working with. But I basically experienced the benefits and then decided to study acupuncture with the gentleman in England he studied with. And as a result, began to work with a model of health as well as a pathologically based model. And then in March of that year in 1975, I was sent to a meeting in Switzerland called the Limits to Medicine and listened to Jonas Salk and talked with him, because he was advocating schools of health in addition to schools of medicine. And I said to him, "That's what I want to do. Where do I go?"
And this book has an appeal worldwide. The message that you share is an important one, no matter where people live. But I recognize that it also holds special significance for people who live in a place like ours, close to what is often called headwaters, what you refer to as source water. What is our responsibility as a community that lives at the origin of the rivers?
Wow. And I didn't really answer the question you asked about the distinction between headwaters and source water. Source water speaks to quality. Headwater speaks to location, but says nothing about the quality of the water coming from that watershed. most of the management of water in Colorado, which is a very dry state, is built on headwaters and that understanding. When water is sold to enable people to profit from that financially, no measurement or change in language signals what happens when you move the water from the land we're on right now away from it, except that in a dry year, not as much water is available. So K is working very hard. I'm doing what I can to help our garden, our trees, keep alive and thrive in a dry year.
And what of responsibility to the people who this water also touches?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because Glenwood Springs is now in the situation of drawing water out of the Roaring Fork River. So everything we do in Carbondale goes down the Crystal to the confluence with the Roaring Fork and into the Glenwood water supply. Everything from aspen and basalt all goes into the Roaring Fork and down to the water that goes into the stomachs of the children and the adults and the elders of Glenwood Springs. And that's because of the fire. That's because of the fire being in Grizzly Creek and in No Name. And that's the Glenwood water supply. And it has been an extraordinarily pristine source. It's just absolutely precious because there's no mining, there's no cattle above it. It's really clean water, really source water. And so that's why if all went according to agreements, when you would go into Hanging Lake and get to the top and go up above the lake, there would be a sign there that would say some things about source water. At the top of the sign, it would say source water in big letters. It would also talk about headwaters, because that's the legal structure of managing water in Colorado.
This is Katie and Kay, and I'm speaking with Will Evans on his new book, just released this week, Circulating Source Water. And it is available at Mana Foods for sale. There's also a website where people can find the book.
It's available on Amazon and Ingram. So those are the sources at present.
One thing that I've really enjoyed about it is the structure. You describe like a canyon. So you have your main river running through the primary narrative. But there are all these footnotes that you describe as side canyons, little adventures off the main track, but full of interesting nuggets as well.
Yeah, I happen to want to check today and see what I said about nature's time and circular time in contrast to linear time. Mm-hmm. And I was happy to find what I had done. And much of the information about nature's time is a side canyon. It's a footnote.
Uh-huh. How does it feel to have the book now completed and released to the world as opposed to a work in progress?
Oh, I'm barely getting used to having it done. But what's exciting to me is the things that are happening in the world that what I've been working on is relevant to that awareness and activity that's growing. And I was aware of it starting last fall when I learned so much about the young people who are involved in their concerns about the world they're going to get handed because of climate change, global warming.
What is your hope for the audiences that read the book? What would you like for them to remain with?
Well, my hope would be that they they get some glimpse and memory of a living world story in contrast to the dying world story that we're watching unfold at a greater magnitude and velocity than it has been a year ago. And it's picked up a lot of speed. And I think that people, as a result of the social distancing and the what's called the lockdown, slowed down. And with that slowing down, they begin to feel things. Their sensory system had time to catch up with them and pay attention to what was happening. And I saw a lot of increased family activity on the river. And people, until the pandemic and the whole mask thing, were able to stand and talk and engage in a way that was not so hurried.
So is it a choice then between the living world and the dying world? Is it a choice?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, it's a, I refer to it as a watershed moment. I grew up here in Colorado, and I learned when I went up on the Continental Divide that a water drop right on that fine line between the Gulf of Mexico and the Mississippi and the western slope and the Colorado, the river drainage that we are in goes into the Colorado. So it's all flowing west. But that place where a water drop is poised is a watershed moment, because it can go either way. And so we can make a choice to just stay on track, heading over the abyss, I would say, into the dying world story, or we can slow down and take the time to be aware of what's happening and maybe hear some sign of life in a direction that suggests it might be valuable to turn around and look where we are and where we've been and go back and clean that up a little bit and begin with the intent to heal our watershed relationships.
Mm-hmm. I've heard you ask a guest in previous programs, interviews of Shifting Gears, about trust. And I'm curious what you would share about trust, given your explorations.
The truth is food. It's nourishing. It can be painful. Some people want to suppress the truth, but it has in my life proven to be valuable when people can be truthful. And I've learned I can tell when someone is speaking the truth to me and speaking from their heart and listening with their heart. And it's it's beautiful. It's food. It's nourishment. And I prefer to trust that. People who are tricky and want to play games with words and devious language, I'm less and less interested in conversing with them, but I have to, and I do. But it's a real delight to travel with people I trust. And, you know, I learned that with the things I did as a young person. I didn't want to kayak with anybody who I didn't trust because I had a lot to learn. And when I needed help, I needed somebody who was trustworthy. Same way with climbing and skiing, and same way in relationships. Mm-hmm.
For people who struggle to be trustworthy for whatever reasons, speaking truth doesn't come easily. What is your advice?
Well, I would treasure and cultivate the trustworthy relationships you have, and save your breath and your strength when you're caught in a crazy maker. Stay centered and don't try and solve something that's inherently flawed and impossible to solve.
Center and balance are other topics that emerge throughout the narrative. I'm curious, is there any aspect that you'd like to share with us now to read aloud?
Well, it would just be a totally random choice. And what I opened the copy I have to is a heading called Values, and a man from the Haida Nation called Kawansanaw. Kawansanaw understands respect when he tells us your stature is determined by how tall you are, not how small you try to make someone else look. The strength of society is in both the strength and experience of the individual and the cohesion of individuals, much like a beehive. It is said, like forests, the roots of our people are so intertwined that the greatest troubles cannot overcome us. This is how we have survived successive epochs of climate change. We call this the unity of the common mind. The strength of the individual is of little consequence unless it is combined with others between whom there is trust and sharing. The Haida people knew unity as the common mind.
Wow, that was a good page to randomly turn to. How appropriate. Well, thank you for your work so much in shifting gears with Katie and Kay as in this monograph that I had the delight of reading in its throughout its progression. And it's been a guiding force in my life. And I look forward to others having the opportunity now to read it. So once again, it's an Ingram book.
It's in the process with Ingram.
Okay.
It's there's a recent event that I've made some small but important changes. So as the transition with those new changes goes through the system, there may be some delay, but it should be short-lived. And it's available at Mana.
At Mana as well. Mana Foods in Carbondale.
Right, on 133.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add for our listeners?
No, I just want to thank you, Raleigh, for your being awake in that class in 2011 at the high school, and the wonderful fun we've had since you've been at KDNK.
Yeah, a little context that I interacted with Will in an agriculture class at Roaring Fork High School. It would have been
2011.
Okay. So nearly 10 years ago. And I think the lessons of that class continue to ripple through my life and even gain force. And it's been an exciting wave to surf. And yeah, I really mean it when I refer to you as a local elder. And it's so important that we have figures of wisdom that can tell us the stories, that can orient our lives towards a living world, as opposed to the dying world stories that are perhaps overly pervasive these days.
But they're there if you listen.
So Dr. Will Evans and host of Shifting Gears on KDNK, thank you once again for your work, and hope everybody can get their copy.
Thank you, Raleigh.